Spring has sprung, I know, because my dark pink magnolia tree is flowering and green shoots are appearing everywhere. It makes us aware of nature, flowers and trees. And today I'm in Portobello Road with a florist who's worked with Gucci, Elle Magazine, Coach, Liz Earle and Jimmy Choo. She is Nikki Pierce from Petal & Grace. Hi Nikki, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi Josephine, thank you.
I just want to admit, I've also got somebody on my knee. He's called Churchill. He's a pug. He's 5 years old and he's Nikki's pet, but he's rather taken to me, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has. He seems to be giving you a lot of kisses and snuffling and snorting. So if you hear those noises, that's what it is.
It is. So let's talk flowers. I could talk about flowers all day. In fact, if you look at my nails, look, I've got dirt underneath them because I'm always doing a little bit of weeding before I come out something.
Amazing, yeah.
I love getting my hands dirty now. Yeah. I'm getting addicted to it. But you've done, I said, please, because you don't have a shop, we'll go into that later, you do kind of events, so you have a studio. But I said, please, will you do a floral arrangement for me? And you have done the most beautiful spring-like spray. Can you describe it, please?
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy that you like it. It is really springy, actually, now that you mention it. We've got quite bright colours. I chose to sort of highlight the arrangement with some bright yellow ranunculus, some daffodils. There are some...
They're not normal daffodils, though, are they?
Do you know what? I don't actually know if those have a specific name. There's always so many different varieties.
They're the pale-petaled ones with a kind of orange and yellow kind of stamen.
And they're a little bit ruffled on the inside as well, which sets them apart.
Kind of antique-y.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to describe them. I also managed to get some anemones, which are these ones here. They're really pale green. Almost like a super pale lime green, and they're quite unusual. They're a little bit more ruffled and a bit more full than a normal anemone, so I was quite taken by them. We have some achillea, which is a touch of pink, like a pink sort of fluffy filler flower, which is that one there. And forget-me-nots, I added a touch of blue just to break the color up a little bit. But the general look is a sort of pale, but like touches of yellow, touches of orange, and a touch of blue just to kind of highlight the pale, soft colors.
Yes, it's very, very feminine, I call it.
Do you know what? I think most flowers are. I sometimes do or have requests to do sort of flowers that are focused on more of a male palette, whether it's for like a cologne that's launching or something like that, or a man's party. And I find it hard to do.
I suppose
like masculine
would be more like architectural, or you know, palms, or Mediterranean, or South African sort of flowers.
Which is not usually what I work with. I tend to like the more.
So you
sort
go
of...
to what is that your style then?
Tell me
about Petal & Grace's style. Sort of vintage.
Vintage, but also a bit modern in the way that everything's put together. I take so much influence from the Dutch masters, from the 17th century paintings.
And why do you know so much about art then?
I studied history of art. That was my major. And I worked in the art world for a really long time. And then I was missing nature in my life, and I sort of moved into flowers. So, but I've always gone back to art for inspiration.
And you think they were brilliant floral arrangements then?
They were absolutely amazing. I mean, they weren't based on reality. They had all kinds of, they just sort of have one bloom of all types of different things that would have never been available or in season at the same time. So they clearly weren't based on real flower arrangements. They were just sort of pieced together. But they were absolutely beautiful in the way that they were composed. And I think a lot of the time they were referencing mortality and rebirth. So you would find a flower that was sort of fading and really open, and maybe a petal had dropped off, but then you'd have like a little tiny blue robin's egg in the composition as well.
Gorgeous.
Just to sort of reference new life. And
And all those colours, if you think about them, because they're kind of, it's a very old painting, they've got that kind of fadedness.
Yeah.
And this arrangement has got a kind of faded feel.
Yeah.
You know, as
I
say, a romantic, antique, feminine.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a kind of ruffly, kind of a little bit blousy, very pretty.
Yeah.
You know, all the things.
And that's kind of how it's part of the style that we have at Petal & Grace is really, when it comes to color palette, I try to do fairly muted colors, which sounds a bit boring, but I like to do tonal colors. So if it's red, we'll have all sort of reds and then little pops of a a bright, something bright. So we would use like a darker burgundy, more muted, softer, darker colors, and then have a highlight of a sharp red. And that's actually what we've done in this arrangement with the really soft lime greens, soft yellows, and then that sharp yellow of the ranunculus. But we've just got three of them, just enough to kind of like bring it to life a little bit.
Yeah, you say bring it to life, but to me it still looks very pretty. There's nothing jarring about it, is
yeah
there?
Yeah, and I think that's the subtlety of just using a hint of a sharp color, so that it's not overwhelming. That's my style anyways. That's
so
how I
tell us about arranging, because you know, we go to M&S, we go to the roadside, we buy a bunch of flowers.
Yeah.
What do we do when we get home? Do we cut off the stems? Do we cut off the leaves? What receptacle do we use? Can you give us some advice?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, always cut the stems, definitely. They love to have... The stems get a little bit of oxygen in them, even when you're transporting them home. It's enough time for them to just dry out a little bit. So give them a little snip. And then ideally, if you can, snip them every couple of days and change the water.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's a great way to keep them fresh. Mm. Just the easiest, because you get rid of the bacteria in the vase and keeps them super fresh. Sorry, what else did you ask?
Leaves. What about leaves?
Leaves.
Because I never know whether to take them off or not.
I do. And it sort of depends on the exact flower that you're using. But take a rose, for example.
Yes.
If you imagine the water being sucked up from the base of the stem, the water will go to the leaves before it goes to the head of the flower. So if you want to keep that beautiful rose looking fresh for longer, then get rid of all of the leaves and the water goes straight to the head.
Also, I find that leaves on a plant, they kind of go soggy if they're in the water, and they make the water go discolored.
Yeah,
you know.
That's it. And they just look a bit cleaner. If you're using a clear glass vase, it's really nice just to have those clean stems without the leaves there. And then, everything lasts a little bit longer.
Now, so do we start off, because I remember once someone telling me, I always start off putting the greenery in and then I add the flowers sort of around that. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, it is actually, generally. I think greenery is a really nice base. It just kind of, it's almost like a filler for the arrangement, and it can give you a bit of structure. And what I do is I compose the arrangement with greenery first to give it its shape and its form. And then based on that shape and form, I then start adding some of the larger flowers in to give it a bit more focus.
Do you do the stems a different length? You know, because I often cut mine all the same and shove them in. Or do you think you should be kind of thinking more artistically?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can see with this arrangement here, there's so much depth to it.
And how do you do that?
Well, you just cut some of them shorter and some of them longer and almost layer the flowers up. For me, I think it's really important to create a focal point. So you can see, and I've done that with depth. Yeah, you can do it with color or with a really strong, large flower or using depth. And here you can see, for me, that's the focal point because your eye is just sort of drawn right into the arrangement. And that's where I've cut the flowers a little bit shorter. And then we've got everything else coming out around it. So instead of having like a perfect dome, which some florists do, but
yes, and that I think it's quite trendy, isn't it? That sort of, it's quite safe as well, isn't it?
Well, and it's actually oddly really easy as well to do a perfect dome. It's easy, you can do it in 5 minutes.
Do you do it with a bit of that stuff, the green stuff you stick it into? What's that called?
It's called Oasis.
Yeah, that reminds me of my mother in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. I really try not to use Oasis. Okay. It's so bad for the environment. It's horrible to work with. It doesn't decompose. It's around forever and ever and ever. And you use it once and it's in a landfill. Combined with the fact that when we are using it, we're slicing it, there's a really fine dust that comes off of it, which we inhale, I know for sure, and it's awful on our skin. I mean, it's just generally nasty stuff. Sometimes it's really hard to avoid it for some larger scale things, but for an arrangement like this, I've actually composed the entire arrangement in this is a vintage brass.
I was going to ask, let's talk about receptacles. So what's it in?
So it's a vintage brass vase, almost a bowl with a little pedestal, like a bowl shape with a little pedestal on it. And then on the inside, I've made a big ball of chicken wire. At the base of that, I have a flower frog, and I've sort of taped it all down to the receptacle, and then I put flowers into that. So the chicken wire acts as a mean to keep the flowers in place so that they're
really
not falling on top of each other.
What's this frog thing you're talking about?
Oh, the frog is the little metal, it's a sort of heavy metal weighted device that you can, it has spikes all over it, and you can then just stick your...
So could we buy this on the internet?
Yeah, Google flower frog, they're there.
Brilliant. And then chicken wire, would I just use sort of pliers then to get it in the right... to cut it up.
Or, yeah, or just scissors. I use my floristry scissors, which I probably shouldn't do. Yeah, it's easy enough. You just snip. It's a little bit evil to work with in the sense that the ends are all sharp and you're trying to sort of form
you're making a ball.
A ball, yeah. Exactly. You create a structure, like a little ball that fits into your vase. So that process means sometimes you've got scratches on your hands, but... You can reuse that time and time again.
And will that just look so much better than putting a load of just some daffodils in a jam jar?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. I think that, well, look, I mean, flowers are beautiful on their own. Yeah. And of course, you can just get a bunch of daffodils, put them in a jar. They look gorgeous. But if you want to create a composition, I think you need a bit of structure. You need the flowers to have a bit of life and to sit so that they look almost as if they're growing. And in this arrangement here, I'm sure you can see that they're sort of twisted at different angles. They're facing different directions. Yes. And that precision comes from having a spot where the stem can sit and it's held. So nothing is held up by falling onto another flower. They're all independently held in place, which makes them look a little bit more alive, I think.
Fascinating. Now, how did you learn all this, Nikki?
Oh, my goodness.
And how long have you been in floristry?
So I've had... Petal & Grace was started about... Well, we're in our fourth year now. I apprenticed for 2 years in a little flower shop.
Where?
Who? At Holland Park. Mm. A flower shop just around the corner from the station. It's called Bursting Buds Florist. And I had the most wonderful teacher, who's called Philip, and he's been a florist for 30 years.
Fabulous.
And he knows everything about flowers. Mm. And I think it's... for me, it was just the best way to learn. I learned how the flowers behave by watching them day after day in the shop and learning how much water needs to go into vase for a hyacinth versus a rose, how often that water needs to be changed, how long the flowers last, which then sort of dictates which flowers you can put together in an arrangement. If you've got a flower that's going to last 10 days versus one that's going to last 3, you ideally don't really want to present them to a client because the whole thing will fall apart. So little things like that you just learn through trial and error and being there and experiencing it. And then all the techniques that go into creating the arrangements, I learned a lot of that there. After being there for a couple of years and, you know, feeling pretty confident, I then went off and took a few courses, just sort of one day courses.
What sort of courses? Tell us.
Gosh, where did I go? I did one with, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the name now. I think it's called the Little Flower School. She's in Sussex. Mm. And she did a one day, and I sort of said, this is the style that I like. And I had a few reference florists, mostly based in New York. Mm. And I said, how are they doing it? You know? And she was the one who said, okay, look, I'm, you know, this is the chicken wire, this is the technique, this is just a few tips on
form.
Is
it Sarah Raven? Was it her?
No, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm going to be kicking myself after this.
Because
It was literally about 4 years ago that I took this course.
And so she was kind of an inspiration then to find her.
Yeah.
She pulled it all together for you.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes with these things, you have a visual of how you want it to look, but you just don't quite know exactly. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes you just need a few pointers here and there, and it can all then come together.
So you got really excited because you found your look.
Yeah. And then just built on that a little bit. It's taken a few years, but I think also being fairly structured about my style, just also because I hire in a team of florists sometimes, and being able to say, look, this is what we're doing, and these are the some of the guidelines around the style.
So do you have to do you start from scratch and say, this is what we're doing, and you show them, you build it, and then show them what to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I tend to make a few samples and say, go make me 10 of those or whatever, but even within those, I don't want them to be cookie cutter. I don't want them to all look exactly the same, but I want them to have a few elements. So with this one, if you can see, it sort of flows up on one side.
Yes.
It flows down on another. And then there's always a couple that just kind of peek out. So I chose a particularly beautiful anemone, and it's sticking its head up higher than the other ones. And what I like about that is that it just makes you appreciate the beauty of that flower. And the way that we're looking at it, this is very much the front of the arrangement, and the anemone is kind of facing off to the side. And it's just a different way to appreciate a flower. We're looking at a profile. And I just thought that profile was really beautiful, and I wanted to highlight it. So it just, it just allows, it kind of gives you a moment to appreciate one bloom in a different way.
So you did all the courses, you found your look. How did you launch? How did you get the business? Because you have incredible clients.
Oh, thank you. It's been a long process. I mean, I think year 3 is when it all sort of came together and it really felt like a real business. But year 1 and 2 was really just about, first of all, obviously telling all my friends and family, providing so many flowers for free for events to get noticed.
Wow.
Providing flowers, I mean, not huge events,
but
people that, friends of mine that have influential friends, and they would be having a party, and I'd say, please, can I make you an arrangement?
Good
and
idea.
just that, just having, and then you know, it comes up in conversation, and then I would be at the party, so I would do the plug, which is a bit cringe, but you know, I love what I do. I don't mind talking about it. So things like that, collaborating with people, collaborating with photographers or wedding dressmakers, doing flowers for free for photo shoots. So much went into those.
Very proactive, then.
Really proactive, and just saying yes to a lot of things as well. Like, I think having people approach you and say, you know, we've got a dinner for, there'll be influential people there. Would you like to do it? And I sort of look at it and think, oh my gosh, it's going to cost me so much money. But just taking the risk on it and putting the flowers together. Churchy, quiet. And
so taking a risk, do you think that's the most important thing? Do you think taking risk is the most important thing in business, really?
Yeah, the whole thing is a giant risk. It really is, because this isn't, for me, it's not a fun hobby that I'm just doing. You know, this is my livelihood. This is something that I'm passionate about, but I also need it to be successful.
You rent the space as well, don't you?
Well, yeah, I've got commitments. And
do you have any staff?
Not full time. The great thing is there's so many people who love to work freelance. So
fabulous.
I just get them in on a freelance basis, which works perfectly.
Yeah, and I bet it's great fun, the teams you get.
Yeah.
And I bet you have such a laugh.
Yeah, we do. And it's amazing because most of the people that I hire know each other anyway, because they're all working freelance jobs for other people. So they all show up and they know each other.
And gossip about every event and all the people.
Yeah, it's a small industry. You do hear a lot. Yeah.
I had a friend that did a lot of stuff for Rob Van Helden, a gay guy.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And he just told me about the most outrageous parties. And I went to a Schloss in Germany.
Oh,
and
amazing.
You know,
that sounds
you know,
wonderful.
He did just outrate, you know, brilliant things.
Yeah.
So tell us about your most glamorous event you've done.
Oh gosh. Well, I had one client who, it was a series of events, and I think it just stands out as pretty glamorous because it was a 21st birthday, and he had three events for his birthday, and all of them needed flowers. And every event was unique and fabulous in its own right. So the first evening was pretty low-key. He did a viewing of the Darjeeling Limited. He hired out a cinema. So we made garlands out of marigolds, you know, the sort of bright orange and bright yellow. So all of his guests would wear the garlands.
Oh.
So that was the small one. Then the next night was a party at Annabelle's club in Mayfair. And the theme, I mean, I got these amazing mood boards from him. He was studying art, and his mood boards were, I mean, he loved Wes Anderson, the film director. He loved China in the sort of like 1940s and 50s,
fabulous.
But also loved the whole Orient Express theme. So the theme was kind of Orient Express, vintage China. So we used all these beautiful brass receptacles for the flowers and did really, really deep tones. So deep red, deep purple, pops of orange. And it was all in Annabelle's, which was super moody, dark lighting, and then these sort of jewel, deep-colored flowers, just everywhere. He had flowers everywhere, and it was magic. And then the next day was the 1st of May, which is a traditional day to use Lily of the Valley. And he wanted a Lily of the Valley explosion for his intimate dinner for, I think there were only 10 or 15 people at this dinner, but we used about 1,500 stems of Lily of the Valley in
the scent there must have been.
And I warned him, I said, you know, you're having dinner, and this, we're going to use so much Lily of the Valley, it might be overpowering with the food, and he wanted it. This is what he wanted. So, and we did an explosion. I mean, it was amazing. We had Lily of the Valley running down the center of the table. We had it going up the walls, overflowing from the mantelpiece, everywhere. So that
when you walked in, what was it like when you walked into that room?
Oh, well, there was Lily of the Valley everywhere, and you were immediately hit with the scent.
What colour are Lily of the Valley?
They're white, so they're a teeny tiny delicate bloom with little bell-shaped white flowers on each stem. And they grow with like almost like a really lime green, fragile looking leaf that goes with them. So we use lots of potted Lily of the Valley and lots of fresh cut stems and put it all together.
Oh,
God, so in terms of events, that was
that's like a dream client, isn't it?
Well, I'm sort of hoping he hasn't come back this year. Yeah. So I think the 21st birthday was a big one, but I'm hoping that he comes back for another one.
If he gets married, all sorts of events you could. Yeah. God, it's brilliant. Yeah. Now tell us about some of your fashion people then. Who have you done that sort of stands out?
I've done flowers for photo shoots. Oh gosh, what have I done? Yeah, I've got some big fashion brands. I'm just trying to think of everybody. I did a photo shoot, really simple, like bright clashing colors for Gucci.
I think of them like that. They're kind of bright, aren't they? Yeah. And also with depth again.
Yeah, and that was another one where they sent me the mood board, and which had their most recent fashion campaign, which is all over the shop. It's amazing and wild and crazy, but the colors are just like everywhere. And they said, can you make flowers to match this? And I sort of, well, yeah, sure. But so I just went with clashing bold colors. I do a lot of product launches for perfumes as well. I've got a great client in the perfume industry.
Fabulous.
So, and that's always a lot of fun because we're putting together bouquets that are also highlighting some of the scents that are in the arrangements.
That's so interesting.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And they quite often tend to be smaller events as well, which I quite like, the small events.
Tell me one?
Yeah. I mean, Issey Miyake, for example, we did a launch that was for their male fragrance, and they wanted lots of blues and different shades of blues. So we used different shades of blue delphiniums.
Oh my God, they are my favorite flower.
And then they had lime was one of the scents. So I sliced open limes and actually had them sitting in the arrangements, sort of stuck a skewer in them and then put them in right into the vase. Cinnamon as well. So just put a few cinnamon sticks in there, cardamom, and then like cardamom seeds all over the table. When they sort of come to me with these fragrance notes and say, what can you incorporate into the design? What can't you? And then I kind of have to step back and think, okay, what will look good with the flowers, or what should be presented on the table in a different way?
It's just so interesting, your job, because every job is different, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, it really is.
And you
is.
Have to be creative.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just
and
brilliant.
I spent a lot of time sort of running around to different exotic fruit shops looking for it.
But also you're learning all the time. It's one of those jobs you're never going to stop learning, are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, absolutely. Even, we're constantly getting new flowers as well. I'm
really?
Amazed. Well, so first of all, the seasons are changing, which is fabulous, because right when you start to get tired of Christmas, there you go, spring is there, and you've got the new flowers, but breeders are creating new blooms as well. So, or flowers in new colors. So every year, every season, I'll go to the flower market and get really excited about a new flower that I have never seen in that color, or something that we haven't had imported before. Or
fascinating. So are you going to the famous flower market in London then?
Yeah, I go down to New Covent Garden a few times a week.
Yeah, what time do you have to get up?
It depends on my day, but I tend to get up around sort of 4:30, 5. It depends how busy I am.
Yeah.
The latest I leave is 6:30. That's like if I'm having a lazy day, I leave at 6:30 to avoid the traffic. But it's from where I live and where my studio is, it just makes sense to get up.
So do you have a van or a car? Or?
I have a van. I have an electric van, actually.
Cool.
I'm trying to sort of give back a little bit. Our industry isn't massively.
So you set off in your little electric van at dawn.
Yeah.
And tell me what happens when you get there.
Well, the best thing about the flower market is the people. I get down there and it's just all smiley faces and funny people. I'm laughing every morning.
Real Londoners.
Yeah. Real Londoners.
There's such a laugh, aren't they?
Oh my God, it's hilarious. Yeah. And I'm sort of, as a Canadian, I'm having to sort of learn how to banter, which is still new to me. But they make me laugh every day, and there's nothing like having a laugh at 5 in the morning when you're feeling a bit groggy. It just kind of makes everything okay. And then, of course, there's just flowers everywhere, and it's magic, and it's just, I'm shopping. I'm going around, and I'm shopping, and I'm looking for inspiration. So I've always got a shopping list of things that I need for that day. I've always got things that I'm doing quotes on, so I'm sort of looking for inspiration for events that are coming up in a few weeks' time, or ordering things in for those events. So it's always a busy morning with lots to do and buying from different people, loading up the van, and then I head back to my studio And
you have to get them in water immediately then?
It depends what it is. Most things are okay for a little bit, because when I get to the studio, I condition them all. So they all
come. What does that mean?
Well, it's basically getting them ready to be stored and preparing them so that the flowers will open. For a lot of the events that I do, I need the flowers to be perfectly open.
So funny, we've never, you know, it's sort of thing we never think about. Just think, I go to these gorgeous parties, I look at a flower arrangement, I haven't thought of all this.
Oh my gosh, so one of the biggest challenges for me with floristry, with event floristry, is that flowers look their best right before they die.
Oh, no.
So when you buy them, and every flower sort of has a different lifespan. So if you think of one event that has, say, 8 different flowers in the arrangements, you need to have the different flowers opening at different stages. So I buy them at different days, and then get them into water at different times, and then they all, I have to just keep my eye on them. So when most of our events are in the spring, summer, when it's hot out, so I've got the air conditioner going in the studio. And
so do you want them to warm up, or do you want them to...
Some of them I want to warm up. Some of them I want to cool down. So they're constantly being shifted and moved. Some of them come back to my flat at home if I think, oh my gosh, it's too cold in the studio. Yeah. I need some heat, so I get them in the sunshine. So there's this whole balancing act that goes on.
So you're always carrying flowers, thinking about flowers, worrying about flowers.
Checking on them.
That when I arrived, you said, I'm going on holiday and I'm worried. I mean, you know, you're leaving your flowers, your business is your baby, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's not easy to leave. It's not easy to say no to business or leave it alone for a few weeks while I go on holidays. Oh my gosh, I'm not worried because I've got great people helping me, but at the same time,
still, it's your thing.
It's my thing,
it?
And I want to make sure everything is perfect. It's one of the things that I pride myself on, is providing a really amazing service to my clients. And that's part of the reason that my business is built up, is that I make sure everybody's happy. I make sure everything's perfect. I know all my clients really well. And I'm probably a bit too controlling about the whole thing, but I don't want to let anybody down. I want everything to be perfect.
That's so lovely. And lastly, why are flowers important to us as human beings?
Oh my goodness.
Do they bring to us?
Oh, nature. We all need nature in our lives. And this is what got me into floristry in the first place. But I just feel strongly that having, whether it's houseplants, fresh cut flowers, having a little bit of nature in our homes, I think it gives us pause. It gives us a moment to stop and reflect and admire nature and beauty in nature. And I think that that's really therapeutic. And for me, I get the biggest satisfaction when at an event, you know, when people have a moment, because it's always so busy at events, but you can see people have a moment where they stop. And it could just be a second, it could be 30 seconds, but they stand there and they look at my work and they appreciate it. And that's a connection with nature that I think is really important. And I hope that I can sort of help people have that experience.
Fantastic. And thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. You've been brilliant. We're going to take a photograph of the amazing, what do we call this?
Arrangement.
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't think what the word was. This amazing arrangement. And we're going to take a picture of Churchill.
Oh, good.
And we're going to put it on the website. Oh, but thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And for more information, go to petalandgrace.com. For even more interviews of women and ideas for living, go to radiogorgeous.com. Thank you so much, Churchill, for taking part too.